Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call, 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, or tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors for Weed Day Wednesday are Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, EZMarijuana.com, and Culture Magazine.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week, along with the lowest price certifications in town. You'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
And remember,
be smart, be safe, and educate.
Wednesday.
Good morning, Bellstar.
Good morning, Cannabis Kid. Doing swell. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
It's a beautiful morning.
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really beautiful morning this morning.
Today's our early day, we call it. We're up before the sun, out walking, hoping coyotes aren't following us. It's a good day. Ah, lots going on in marijuana world. That's it. We've got 7 new states about to legalize, including, hopefully, this June, Arizona, hopefully, gets
moved. June?
June.
Well, that's a lot sooner than we expected.
That is a lot sooner, and I'm not quite sure exactly, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Now, who's pushing that move for the
Democrat and Phoenix legislature? We'll see if we can't get them on our show at some point soon,
awesome.
But we do have a super fun show today. Always. Shows are super fun. But what is that noise? Got a little clicky on your computer.
I know, it started yesterday.
Uh-oh. We've got computer click.
Computer click.
Need some cannabis, that's what that
yeah,
means.
Yeah, I don't know. I think after 6 years, he's finally...
Said later?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think you need a new little laptop there, buddy.
Yeah.
Dick, you could leave that one at home and, you know, take your new one out on the road with you,
yeah.
I think.
So I'm looking at one of those tablet slash...
Ooh, one of those fancies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a little bit thinner. I can use it at tablings and events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. We have a show today. This morning we have a three-part mini-series going on with Women Grow. It actually is turning into like a six-part mini-series. Who's telling it'll go? Women Grow. You go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can check out the radio section. And we've got Sarah Gullickson from Women Grow on today. And Women Grow is a Phoenix chapter. This is a Phoenix chapter, sorry, mm-hmm. Denver. A national network supporting female entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry. And they will host their next meeting on 3/5, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Clarendon Hotel. And that's going to be in Phoenix. So we'll have Sarah on to tell us a little more about that. And we'll do a little interview in just a few minutes. We'll be on in about 10 minutes. So
cool.
You can marijuana, you can smoke a bomb, you can talk about what's going on. There's a lot going on. If you go to Dumbledore, and you can see, I don't even have my sound effects ready. Jeez Louise.
What?
I know it. Oh, news. Anyway, if we go down to the news, check this out. President Obama could reschedule marijuana. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's see. While President Obama is positive marijuana will continue to be legalized on a state-by-state basis throughout the course of the next few years, the leader of the free world gave no indication during a recent YouTube interview that the federal government plans to end prohibition anytime in the future. Oh, that's no good. All right. Instead, he offered up a modest dose of the usual swill that Americans have grown accustomed to hearing from the White House regarding the reform of national pot policies. A heavy emphasis on states' rights as opposed to the nationwide repeal of a law that suggests weed is as dangerous as heroin. What you're seeing now is Colorado, Washington, through state referenda, they're experimenting with legal marijuana, said Obama. The position of my administration has been that we still have federal laws that classify marijuana as an illegal substance, but we're not going to spend a lot of resources trying to turn back decisions that have been made at the state level on this issue. My suspicion is that you're going to see other states start looking at this. Well, I don't know, Cannabis Kid. I don't know why they're not going to go back and spend even a tiny bit of resources trying to turn back a decision that Nixon made. Come on. What do we do to this guy? It would have been nice to hear some clarification from the president as to why the government still deems it necessary to classify cannabis as a Schedule 1 dangerous substance with no medical value, even though over half of the United States has been allowed to legalize it for medicinal and recreational purposes. Yet, his primary focus in regards to federal efforts to end the domestic war on drugs was placed on dissecting the penalties for nonviolent drug offenses in order to determine what can be done to tweak the criminal justice system without reforming federal pot laws. What I am doing at the federal level is asking my Department of Justice to examine generally how we are treating nonviolent drug offenders, said Obama. What we have done is instead of focusing on treatment the same way we focus, say, with tobacco or drunk driving or other problems, where we treat it as public problem, we've treated this exclusively as a criminal problem. I think that it's been counterproductive and it's been devastating in a lot of minority communities. It presents the possibilities at least of unequal application of the law, and that has to be changed. Last year, the Obama administration dragged a few progressive efforts aimed at pot reform down the hill and turn them loose, including a move to prohibit federal funds from being used to prosecute the medical marijuana community, as well as giving Native American tribes the freedom to legalize pot on reservation land. So what is preventing the president and the gang from at least downgrading the federal classification of cannabis before leaving office 2016? The answer, my friend, is nothing. President Obama stated last year during an interview with the New Yorker that the reclassification of marijuana was the job of Congress. However, while the wild bunch of Capitol Hill has the power to make changes to the Controlled Substances Act, the Attorney General who oversees the Drug Enforcement Administration has the authority as well. And the truth is, the Obama administration could initiate the proceedings to reschedule cannabis, but they would prefer to jerk just enough of the American chain to give the illusion of petty reform while still honoring some bizarre pact with corporate devils.
Mm. You know, Belle, we were just talking about that this morning. You know, a lot of these larger corporations are flooding the cannabis market. Sorry, that was perfect. Cannabis market with their money, and it's really letting these smaller groups, these smaller, you know,
organizations
and dispensary owners to really jump up their game with something that they don't have, which is the money.
This is true.
I have a little interview. CNN is talking to President Obama about cannabis. And it's about 2 minutes and 34 seconds, but I just wanted to play it really quick.
Do you want to send that over? Okay. Hit play. See if it will work. We'll try it. Let's see what happens here. We're gonna listen to this. We're going to turn it way up. Here, start right back over. We're going to go.
And you said that you thought,
here it is. Obama talks about marijuana.
Another big issue in this country right now has to do with the legalization of marijuana. You gave an interview to the New Yorker's David Remnick, and you said that you thought smoking pot was a bad habit, but you didn't think it was any worse for a person than drinking. Now, that contradicts the official Obama administration policy, both on the website of the Office of National Drug Control policy, and also the fact that marijuana is considered a Schedule 1 narcotic, along with heroin and ecstasy. Now, do you think you were maybe talking just a little too casually about it with Remnick and the New Yorker, or are you considering not making marijuana a Schedule 1 narcotic?
Well, first of all, what is and isn't a Schedule 1 narcotic is a job for Congress.
I think it's the DEA that decides.
It's not something by ourselves that we start changing. No, there are laws undergirding those determinations.
Would you support that move?
But the broader point, I stand by my belief, based, I think, on the scientific evidence, that marijuana for casual users, individual users, is subject to abuse just like alcohol is, and should be treated as a public health problem and challenge. But as I said in the interview, my concern is when you end up having very heavy criminal penalties for individual users that have been applied unevenly, and in some cases with a racial disparity. I think that is a problem. Over the long term, what I believe is if we can deal with some of the criminal penalty issues, then we can really tackle what is a problem not just for marijuana, but also alcohol, also cigarettes, also harder drugs, and that is try to make sure that our kids don't get into these habits in the first place. And you know, the incarceration model that we've taken, particularly around marijuana, does not seem to have produced the kinds of results that we've set. But I do offer a cautionary note, and I said this in the interview. Those who think legalization is a panacea, I think they have to ask themselves some tough questions too. Because if we start having a situation where big corporations with a lot of resources and distribution and marketing arms are suddenly going out there peddling marijuana, then the levels of abuse that may take place are going to be higher.
Well, that's right from your president's mouth. I don't know. People are throwing addiction into this situation.
I don't like how they're putting that.
That's not what we're talking about, really.
You aren't addicted to your multivitamins every morning, are you?
Well, you should be habitually.
Are you Bellstar?
Yeah, it could be.
Do we need to have an intervention because of your multivitamins?
Because my gummies.
Are you sneaking multivitamins at night?
I'm sneaking Flintstones at night.
Jeez.
Oh, God, you remember those tasty, nasty?
Now I can see.
I don't think you had. You're too young. You don't remember eating Flintstone vitamin C. Yeah. They were nasty.
And they're milly. I hated them. I hated the flavor. Uh-huh. I know exactly what you're too young vitamins. For Flintstone vitamins?
That's like eating
10 million strong and grown.
Sugar in the morning. Sugar in the evening. Sugar in my vitamin.
I remember that
remember
one.
Remember that one? Yeah.
See?
Sugar in the vitamins. All right. Marijuana. Look
marijuana.
At this. Check this out.
You don't know what we're talking about this morning, folks.
We're talking about
marijuana.
And cannabis.
And cannabis.
So I got a box in the mail yesterday, and I was so excited.
Ooh.
I thought it was my High Time subscription. And
that's
it was
how that
not,
comes?
And it was
in
not.
A box?
Cannabis Now came in a box. There were 10 of them. Beautiful.
Oh.
I'm going to frame them all. And look, if you flip to the back of the Cannabis Now, go ahead, open it up. No, not that very back. You have to open it up a little bit. Just one page, and it says dispensary listings. Now, this, folks, this
That's
is a premonition
beautiful.
Of what is to come, because listed in the dispensary section for Arizona is Tumbleweed Tail Center. That's right, Tumbleweed Tail Center, Suite 103. They
Very
called
nice.
Us. They called us probably 2 years ago and
uh-huh.
said, "Hey, we're going to put you in our magazine." And I was jumping up and down doing black backflips and. Here it is. We just got it. I know. Isn't
That's
that exciting?
Exciting?
We're in Cannabis Now. And I said to the guy on the phone, I'm like, seriously? You love Cannabis Now. We have your issues here. And he was like, what? You do? Because this was a few years ago when, you know, not
right,
many
right.
people were speaking out or coming out
and
of the cannabis closet.
Yeah, you don't buy these kind of magazines.
Oh,
it's like High Times in the back.
Yeah. That guy's got a, you open it up, there's a lion.
Uh-huh.
Is he sitting on a field of marijuana lion? All right.
the lion guarding his
Oh my gosh, that there you go. That's what we're gonna have guarding our crops.
Exactly. You need a lion these days.
Lions
oh
my
and
goodness.
Tires.
And cannabis. Oh my. All right. Well, let's do a little introduction. Let's give Sarah a little introduction, and we might have Sarah might be bringing a friend with her, but we'll see here. Sarah Gullickson coming on from Women Grow. Is the Executive Director of DispensaryPermits.com, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for MariMedAdvisors.com, and a national leader in the medical marijuana consulting industry. As an influential woman in the cannabis reform movement, Sarah has a vision for the medical marijuana industry of wellness and accessibility. It is with this vision that she has passionately guided clients through every step of the medical marijuana process from application processes to logistics and cultivation practices, Sarah has successfully advised numerous groups in 7 states' medical cannabis processes over the last 4 years. Combined with nearly a decade of experience executing online and traditional marketing campaigns, Sarah Golickson has used her comprehensive knowledge to assist and consult on successful applications across the United States and is currently working with applicants in Illinois, Nevada, New Hampshire, Delaware, Florida, and New York. Woo-hoo! That's pretty awesome. Sarah has mastered the intricate balance between community involvement, knowledge of local markets, awareness of ever-changing legislation, and most importantly, wellness that has proven to be the key to success for the United States. That's really awesome.
Really,
I'm very excited to have Sarah on. Let's just see if this is Sarah Gulick. All right.
Good morning.
Welcome to Weeds Day.
Hello?
Oh. Are you there? Let's see if we can unmute this again. Try again. Here we go.
Hello.
And good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Is this Sarah, we hope?
This is her. Thank you so much for the kind introduction. That was amazing. I was listening in earlier when you were kind of talking about some of the federal issues that are going on. And so I'm very excited to be a part of the show this morning. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. That was to people who can't see what we're doing over here, there was so much more to read, but I thought it was just, should be just more fun to talk with Sarah live. This is an impressive lady, folks, and if you're not recording, listen to me recording. Get your cassettes out, put them in, hit play and record at the same time. But no, if you're not, we got past show, you can listen to this later. But Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. Is Rachel going to be with you this morning as well? Do we have...
Just me this morning, but Rachel's actually going to be joining me at the meeting on February 5th, and she'll be touching on the application process and some of the states that are waiting to accept applications.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here. This is a question I get asked, and my partner and I get asked a lot for Tumbleweeds, but how did you get into this? This is such a controversial issue these days. We just played that little blurb from Obama. But how did you get into marijuana and cannabis? If you look at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and you look at Sarah's beautiful photo, you don't automatically go, oh, there's a stoner. Sorry, Barbara. But you know what I'm saying? Like you look like the average person who would probably most likely say, you shouldn't use cannabis. You know what I mean? But you're quite the opposite. Tell us how you got into this, and thank you for doing so.
I get that all the time. And one of our goals, obviously, for Women Grow is to kind of reduce those stigmas and to say that these are, professional women, these are professional men, and it's not this sleazy pot shop mentality. It's business people with business sense and dedication to the cause. So... I had a small advertising agency. I helped mostly spas, salons, and physicians, some plastic surgeons, with their marketing strategy. And I came across a 2-sentence Craigslist post that was basically marijuana business needs help marketing. And I've always kind of, just kind of thought outside the box and been, excited about a challenge. And so I ended up contacting the person, and I ended up basically starting here when everything was going on with the application process and dispensary permits. So my first job was to brand them and to market them and to try and figure out how we were going to get clients. Well, I'd never been in an industry before that was so easy, right? So everybody's interested in it. Everybody wants to know about it. At that point, it was definitely more of a hot button, meaning when we went out to certain events in the public, I did definitely have that just a little uneasy feeling. I think that uneasy feeling maybe went away about 2 years into it. And so we would go out into events and people would be yelling and screaming and not happy that this was something that was coming to Arizona. And in my journey in branding them, I just started to learn everything that I could about, you know, cultivation, application process, dispensary best practices. And I became really attached to it, 5 years ago when I started in the industry. It wasn't a full-time thing. It was, you know, we would ride the wave and we would get involved when we could. And now I would say for probably the last 2 to 3 years, it's, you know, full-time, full staff, just kind of full speed ahead. So, you know, I'm very blessed to have landed in the industry, being from the Midwest in Minnesota. You probably wouldn't put me here, but it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I'm not going to go anywhere. I love it. So I'm very blessed and lucky.
That's great to hear, and we're glad you're doing it, and we're glad you're helping to break those stigmas, because it's thing that really hurts this wonderful plant, you know. It really limits access when you have people making judgments that they don't really know anything about. And, you know, through organizations like, you know, Tumbleweeds Health Center and what you guys are doing, education is the most important thing that, you know, we could possibly do. What are you doing right now? I know you guys you start in Phoenix chapter. What are you doing right now to educate, you know, the average person to say, hey, look, you know, I use cannabis, I support cannabis, and it's a good thing, and you shouldn't be judged for it.
You know, honestly, I love doing, you know, any type of media, and no matter how big or small, just to kind of get our company vision out there that, you know, does really stand by the medicinal value of cannabis. And so speaking to the media and making sure that you're clear and concise with your messaging, sometimes when I'm quoted in an article, I want to cry because my words get twisted and it turns a bit. But, you know, the mainstream media is really, I think, where we need to educate, not the most, but I think that it is one of the more important ways to educate because it's reaching the mass audiences.
How do we get into that? Because when we've tried to, you can't get air spots because they won't do anything with marijuana on television. How are you getting around that?
That's the funniest part. It's, you know, 5 years ago when we tried to take billboard ads out or, you know, do advertising, there are all these barriers. But some of the news stations, now that they've caught a hold of Charlotte's Web, has seemed to, in my opinion, give us the most forward-pushing, you know, vehicle, because it did, with Sanjay Gupta talking about it, it did give it a lot of attention. Charlotte's Web obviously isn't the only strain of CBD, and it isn't the only thing
right.
that we need to educate on. But I
right.
think that piece really did a good job of showing this is a mom that's going to, you know, basically lose her child that hasn't even hardly met her child because she has a vegetable and cannabis
right.
is health. And so I think that, you know, patients need to do their part, too, of telling their story and not being ashamed that they're using cannabis and making sure that they become the face of cannabis, you know, for the ailments that they're getting help with. A lot of the media and things like that it's not more traditional. It's going to be more like PR stuff. So it's going to be, you know, somebody wants a comment or a quote versus, you know, placing your ad on, you know, Google AdWords and things like that you can't even advertise on. And so, yes, it's the same thing and the same trend that goes with the industry. It's hurdles. And again, you just have to be tenacious and make sure that you're getting your message out and educating. Another big thing is the centers. And so the dispensaries, making sure that they have the right education for themselves, their executive boards and things like that, their staff and their patients. Right now, MiraMed Advisors and dispensary permits, we're working on more of, more patient information and also trying to refine what that dosage looks like for each patient and making sure that we're educating them that, you know, if you eat half of a cookie or if you eat a fourth of a cookie and you're 200 pounds and you've used cannabis before for a medical ailment, you'll be okay. But if you are 100 pounds, have never used cannabis, you can't eat a whole cookie. Right. So we're really working on the product development and education side to be able to come up with, you know, the proper dosing and the proper education and scripting that our, you know, employees and our centers will implement so that everybody's getting the same message and we're talking to the people about their care so that's customized to that patient.
Right, because we do need some sort of standardization so that someone, you know, it's just like with aspirin, some people need 200 milligrams, some people need 1,000 milligrams. Everybody's different, but you have to know where to start or have some sort of gauge to know where to start because we experience this all the time. We certify people that are 65, 75, 85 years old and they've never used cannabis and they leave and they say, okay, now what? That's
right.
What do I do now, you know? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That part of the media needs to, you know, help people explain that, but also counteract these myths. Like when Halloween came out and everyone was, like, warning, you know, everybody about their children's candy, what was going to be in it. Well, you know, come on. That's a little extreme, you know, and that's the media just playing reefer madness on everybody, you know. So
absolutely. There are a couple pretty good campaigns that are out of Colorado, of course, that one of them, Good to Know. And so they're doing a really good job of kind of raising awareness and educating on, you know, dosing and how to consume so that you're not feeling effects that you don't want to or need to. So, I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah, we are.
You know, if they would have asked about education 5 years ago, it would have been a whole different story. But now, obviously, we're getting, you know, more evolved and we're finding more research and data that kind of backs everything that we're doing.
So, speaking of involvement, how are you finding Phoenix? Are they getting behind you in this? I know you're starting a new chapter there, and it's always hard to start a new chapter anywhere, but we just wonder how Phoenix rallies for causes like this. Tucson tries, but we're down here. We're small.
We're working on you guys, I promise. Just let me get Phoenix up and running. you know, I'm obviously a woman in the industry. I have national presence, so, you know, I often find myself, you know, schlepping myself around the country to go to events and speaking engagements and meeting with clients. And the industry is probably about 85% men. And so when I heard of the opportunity to get involved in Women Grow, I was just all over it. We're working on a campaign right now that's going to highlight some of the top women in Phoenix, in the Phoenix cannabis industry, with all different, you know, lenses. From doctors to lawyers to dispensary owners. And in my short time of being involved in the Phoenix chapter, I'm rerouting myself in the Phoenix market since I've been in Nevada and Illinois for like the last year and a half. I'm amazed at the support. It's been overwhelming. I woke up this morning to an email from one of the women that wants to be involved in our campaign with goosebumps because it's so nice to have a home again and it's so nice to be, you know, working among women and people that have the same vision. And the Phoenix market, in my opinion, and I've been all over the U.S., and granted, I live here, so I might be a little bit partial, but it's amazing. It really is amazing. There's, you know, everybody's on each other's teams, and, you know, everybody's really working together at this. They've been more than supportive and coming to the meetings and, you know, certain people, you know, what do you need? We're obviously trying to build up our, you know, finances so that we can have a nicer venue and do all of those things. And the outreach and just the support we've received has been amazing. We've already outgrown our venue, which for the third meeting is crazy.
Wow.
We had about 50 people come last time. The venue we're at right now is great. It's just a little small. So I'm actively looking for a venue to host, you know, our next March meeting in Phoenix. And so it's been a lot of work, but I know that it's going to be worth it, and it's been really amazing.
So what do you have going on at these meetings? Why don't you tell our listeners all about Women Grow and what you guys do there? It sounds like they're getting bigger and bigger. You are women growing.
We're just having a lot of fun out there.
We are growing. So basically, yeah. Each month in the markets across the United States that we have chapters in, we all get together on the first Thursday of the month, and it's basically a networking meeting with an educational component. So, you know, you get there, you mix and mingle. We tend to do an icebreaker so that everybody can kind of introduce themselves and see if there's anyone in the room that they haven't met that they need to meet. And then next week, wow, that's coming up on the 5th, we'll be speaking about just kind of like the national landscape. So here in Arizona, it's obviously important to talk about patient education and some of the pain points or good things that are going on in the dispensaries and in the community here. But we wanted to kind of take a minute, since it's what we do, to educate everybody on some of the other markets. And so we'll be touching on some of the markets that, are still available to apply in. And we'll talk about some of the states that are awaiting the dispensaries to be built out. So right now, Massachusetts building out. Illinois is kind of going through a little bit of political struggle, but they'll be, awarding and building out. Nevada's awarded, and they'll be, working on building out. Minnesota the same, and then New Hampshire is, we're applying this week pretty much. So we'll kind of talk about some of the pre-permit opportunities, and then I wanted to take a minute to touch on some of the markets that are doing really well. Not that Phoenix isn't. Phoenix is definitely included in one of those, but what are the Colorados of the world and Rhode Island's and Arizona processes look like, and how are these markets evolving? And so we'll talk about a little bit of product development, education, and research, and just kind of touch on some of those things. And then we'll dig into the Arizona landscape. So the Department of Health has stated that they'll be obviously awarding some of those CHAs that are open, and then maybe some CHAs that are not in compliance. And so we'll just kind of dig into that to, see what that would mean for somebody if they wanted to apply for another one, or, a lot of times when people are applying, they need that expertise. And so, how people can get involved if they want to in the application process here in Arizona.
Wow.
That's
a lot.
Awesome.
You only have 2.5 hours.
It is, but there's so much going on.
Well, I know. I'm saying your meeting's not long enough and your room's not big enough. I mean, geez. You have a lot on your
list. I think the goal is to give a teaser, and whoever gravitates towards, research element, the product development, or the permit, they obviously can utilize us or whoever our speakers are, as a resource. We'll be having some really amazing people speaking at our meetings coming up. So, experts that Gina Bierman from The Giving Tree is going to be speaking in March, and then Beth Dose from MiraMed Advisors. Her whole program is patient education and support. So we'll be definitely digging into some of those broad topics that I talked about in future meetings with, industry experts that just focus on that segment.
Wow. What do you think about the fact that legislature wants to legalize in June? Have you heard anything about?
Yeah, I right now our company mission and my mission is medical. I'm not anti-legalization. I think that it would be great to not have to worry about certain things with your cannabis use. It's all coming. Right now, it's an interesting spot to be in, because for the last couple of years, we've always had states in process, which, in my opinion, always means progression. Right now, that's slowing down a bit, but, a lot of states are pushing forward for the recreational market, and, in my opinion, in this industry, it's progress, and I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that's for sure. A lot of people, everybody has, it's basically about the right to choose what you want to be able to consume for yourself. We always go down to that basic root level, because it is. The government certainly does not know my body and does not know the things that I suffer from and the things that help me and that cannabis helps, So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a market for both. And Colorado is an example that they're doing a great job. They have medical shops and they have recreational shops, and it's working.
Yeah. There you go.
Is there anything that you see Colorado doing that maybe we should start doing down here, or maybe something that we shouldn't be doing that Colorado's doing? Just as far as the way that they're handling the program, handling it being recreational and medicinal at the same time?
I think that that's subjective. In my opinion, I like the fact that, you know, the recreational applicants still have to go through a process. I like mm-hmm. that the recreational permits were given to people that had the medicinal permits and licenses. In my opinion, that makes perfect sense, and that's just because they have experience. They know what they're doing. They've done it before, and they've done it in that state. I think, in my opinion, experience is huge. Before it was names were picked out of a hat, or you know, it wasn't weighed as much. And now we know that a lot of centers can't get their grow functioning, and a lot of centers don't understand dispensary operations. And so I do think that that industry expertise for any new center is really important. And so those are some of the things that in my journey in the application process we've obviously found holds some weight.
Yeah, it's difficult when you have a lottery selection like you do here, when you have, people that have been in the industry and that are deserving of, maybe an opportunity to go forward with dispensary, and they just wouldn't get a chance otherwise because their tickets weren't drawn. It's kind of
right.
It's a sad crapshoot that you have to play, and that's not really how business should be run, But
I definitely stand for a merit-based process.
Yeah. We're lucky to have a program, though, Arizona is, and though it's not perfect, we do have something, that we can build upon and take from and use and tweak and change and make our own. Arizona likes to make their own things up as they go along. We know that.
Yeah.
You guys, honestly, in my journey, I was, not to get too personal, but I was talking to my mom last night about some of the other states and some of the other things that we're going through, and, I'm just telling her, sometimes I just get really tired because it's stop and block. And so for Arizona, it's like a breath of fresh air. I know that it's not perfect, but your program is wonderful. It's an A+, in my opinion, in seeing some of the other messes that are going on right now. So we can only build up from wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great place to build up from. So let me ask you a personal question, if you don't mind. What does Mom think about all this? And Dad, too.
Oh, that was a fun conversation. So my mom is my number one fan. She's darling. She comes to the meetings,
aww.
And, we're very, very close. She's seen me go through it for the last 5 years, and I've obviously educated her on the industry, and so she understands it's not a scary thing, and she definitely believes in it. And so she's all for it. My dad's really conservative, and he's in Minnesota, which Minnesota doesn't have a program for the last, 4.5 years. They just got one pretty much. And so I just told him last Thanksgiving, or 2 Thanksgivings ago, so about a year ago, what industry I was in. And at first he was a little bit shocked. He's diabetic, though. And so I just kind of pitched it to him with your struggles, being diabetic, if there was something you could take that was natural that would help you, would you do it? Well, his answer, of course, was yes. And so now, he's sending me text messages about everything that's going on and, who's in Minnesota now, and it's gotten him excited. And I think that's it's for everything, though. It's that at first it's this scary thing because you don't know what it is, and when you put it into the proper perspective for the person, it makes sense. And so it all goes back to education. It does.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And making it personal, go ahead.
No. So it's just been, at first I was nervous, and, now he's, telling me news that I don't know. So he's into it.
That's awesome. You've got reports from everywhere.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's, it's it wasn't, when we started our business over 3 years ago, we were very quiet about what we said we did because of just that, you know.
The judgment.
Yeah. And, you know, people automatically just think you're not, you know, respectable or this or that. And one day I said to my partner, we should probably quit whispering about what we do and just be proud about it. And we were like, okay, it was like jumping in the cold end of a pool. Are you ready? Okay, here, hold my hand, jump, you know, like, let's go. And it really, you really just have to just be, you know, confident in, you know, what you do and who you are and what you believe in and the walk you walk, because
there's so many people out there that don't
know.
You can
influence people in a really good way if you do it right, you know, if you do it gently. Yeah. So,
well, now that the industry's become more mainstream, we tell clients if you don't want to have your name attached to this, it might not be for you.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, you have to be. I mean, I get you have to go through the education part of it, but at the end of the day, we need voices and people in the industry that are loud and proud about what they do. And you know, obviously for me, it was a learning curve, so I get it. But the more progression we see, the more we need to, you know, stand up and say, yes, my name is attached to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Belle and I call it coming out of the cannabis closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to use that one if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it. You've already come out
hashtag
of the other.
It. Yeah. Hashtag it.
Yeah, hashtag cannabis closet. That's fantastic. It is. We're screaming now, our bloggers say. Yeah, it's true. That's my partner online saying it is. It's really, it was hard. It's still hard because you just have to be careful. But it usually, what we're finding that is somebody already knows somebody. So the minute you mention cannabis, oh, I use it for this or for fibromyalgia or for seizures or for what, like, oh, yeah, well, my friend has this or my aunt has this or my brother has that or I use it for this or, you know, there's usually now people are willing to relate and share their own stories, which is really nice, you know. So it's a little easier to come out of that canna closet.
I agree.
So we were doing a little look-see-loo on your Facebook page, and we want to go to your Playboy party.
Oh, my personal Facebook page is private. I always have a hard time with that. The public face and private face. There's a lot of opportunities this weekend for the Super Bowl that I have been invited to, and whichever ones we'll partake in, I'm not certain of.
Well, we didn't mean to out that one, but I'm sure there are just tons of people out there.
I'm not a bunny.
Well, we're not saying. Did you hear, speaking of outing parties, there, Steve D'Angelo, who co-founded, he's Harborside, but he also co-founded Steepo Labs and this other organization, and I can't off the top of my head even recall the name of it. They had a bunch of, which one?
Is it ArcView?
I think maybe that's it, the big meeting they had in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that one?
You know, so ArcView has been something that I've been watching. Just in my professional career, I was stuck in a place where I owned a business and I needed some financing and I needed to partner up with a larger group. And so about a year ago, I was on a tour to see who that perfect group would be. And ArcView offers that for people with ideas or cannabis businesses that need an influx of cash. So I've been watching them, and what they're doing I think is amazing because there are so many people with great ideas that need funding for the ideas. And so you know, we can have money, but if we don't have a good idea or something that makes sense for the industry, it doesn't matter. So that organization kind of pairs the two up. And so in Vegas, when the national convention was going on just a couple months ago, they basically paired, I don't even remember how many, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs or people that are just kind of starting out with capital. And so I think it's amazing. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. Well, we need it in this industry. That's the kind of, you know, sadly, it's going to take a lot of money to get the media and get the push and do all that. But, I mean, that's what it takes. So as long as we've got good people that, you know, in the industry that are pushing for that, that's awesome. You've got it. You've got to have it. You've got to have the backers.
Yeah, absolutely. They're doing, I think they have another meeting coming up here again. So they're very active. I mean, so many people right now are trying to get into the industry, and a lot of those people just have capital to offer. And I don't mean the poo-poo capital. It's obviously important. But if you don't understand the industry or have somebody tied to the industry with an idea or experience, it's really tough.
Yeah, it is. It is really tough. We've learned that. But it's doable for those that are just starting.
It is.
You know, want to be entrepreneurs, as you call them, but just get out
there.
Well,
just, you know, some
it.
Of the people are entrepreneurs and they have a business, and then some of the people have an idea for a business to be an entrepreneur. So I don't mean to...
I don't mean
to say it in a negative light by any means.
Everybody has to start somewhere. No, exactly.
Absolutely.
Everyone has to start somewhere, and gosh knows we started on a diamond of prayer. So, it just takes the love and endurance of, you know, what you're passionate about, and thank goodness there are people like you that are passionate about this plant, this beautiful, beautiful plant, which it all goes back to, you know, we were doing some reading about you earlier, just about the fact that you're so big on accessibility, and I thought that was awesome, because without that, you know, it's patients can't heal. Patients cannot heal
right.
without access to this plant. And I know that there are states out there that are, you know, limiting the ways you can use it and the kind you can use, and I know we're all learning, but what are you guys doing to teach about accessibility to people, and particularly in the states that are limiting to, like, CBD only or vape only or Charlotte's Web only, or all these only programs that limit the use of the whole plant? How are you educating those folks?
You know, at the end of the day, we have some centers that have had plant limits, and we've had some centers that have had, you know, restrictions on whether or not they could offer edibles versus the oils, tinctures, you know, you name it. And so we've been successful in some of the states that we were currently working in lifting those plant limits and in working with the state process to, you know, obviously educate them on the different modalities. At the end of the day, you know, it's not perfect to have a CBD-only program. It's not perfect to have, you know, a flat or a oil-only program. I always pitch it like this, and I know it sounds cheesy, but it's progression, and it's something, and sometimes you have to crawl before you walk, and so it's just a matter of, it all goes back to education again, too, that says, you know, okay, hey, we have oils, you know, what about somebody that wants to put more of a discreet item in their purse, like a capsule, and so, you know, just something a little bit easier to take, and so it just goes back to educating you know, the legislators on it to say, you know, these people are doing, you know, all these different modalities and their program's successful and they're helping a wide range of people. So it's, you know, obviously from kids to the elderly, and how can we pick how they, you know, use their medication?
Absolutely.
Well, even educating the children again about this medicine that now, you know, grandmother's using or, you know, mom is using, and it being a part of people's lives, they're seeing a little bit more of it on the news.
Well, in educating the seniors, we get this one
right.
all the time. You know, I don't want my grandkids seeing this. You know, I don't want them. I don't want my grandkids getting it. Gummies, you know. Lock up your gummies, Grandma.
Yeah. No, and that is important. And, you know, from a Merriman standpoint and from a company standpoint, we are working on some products that are user-friendly to the demographic of person that wants to throw something in their purse or their pocket and be a little bit more discreet. I do believe you need to educate your children, and you need to touch on that. However, when mommy takes her antidepressants or, you know, her, you know, let's say she has an infection and she's taking an antibiotic, it's not something that her child knows about. And so for the people that do maybe need to be a little bit more discreet, we are working on some different products that are a little bit easier to carry, that look a little less like a cannabis product in the mind of, you know, what people picture as flower or vaporizer.
Right. Oh,
very nice.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good idea. But everybody just needs to be careful with whatever medicine, it doesn't matter, they have. They just need to be careful with it.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. So what do you want to say before we head out? You've got a meeting coming up. Tell us about the meeting again and how everybody can get involved and contact you. And it is a public meeting, correct?
Yeah, it's a public meeting. It's more for the industry. So if you're wanting to break into the industry, absolutely. It's definitely a networking event for some of the dispensary owners and people that own, evaluation centers and things like that. But yes, anyone's allowed to join us February 5th, and that's at the Clarendon Hotel. Check-in starts around 6:30. Again, we'll be going over the just kind of the national landscape of the industry just to kind of kick off 2015. And we'd love for, everyone to join us. And I wanted to thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate what you do, and I know that what you guys have done, you're definitely trailblazers, and it's taken a lot of hard work and dedication to get here. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And it's, with support from people like you and trailblazers like yourself that are out there all across the country. Hi, Dad, in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Thanks for being the supporters out there. Your little girl's doing great. Really, it is a lot of hard work, and it can be scary because, people judge, and we don't like that. It doesn't feel good. But thank you for being on our show today. And do you have what's the social media page that everybody can get you at? Is it Women Grow?
The facebook.com/womengrow is a great resource just because I know your audience is national. So if you're not here in Phoenix and you're in another market, you can go to the events page and you can see if there's a chapter in your area. And then obviously everybody in the Phoenix and Tucson market, we'd love if they'd join us on February 5th.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if there isn't a chapter in your area, contact them and say, hey, let's get one going.
We want to be a part of this.
Let's get this going.
Let's rock this. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on.
All right, have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sarah.
Too. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Awesome.
That was awesome.
And they're going to also be on in March. We've got another Women Grow representative coming on to talk to us about what's going on.
Well, thank you again, Sarah.
Yeah, and Women Grow. We might just scoot ourselves up to that meeting February. Yeah. That sounds like it's going to be a really good one, actually.
That is going to be a really good one.
That should be fun. Wow. Mm-hmm. Lots going on. So, yeah, we have a lot of questions on our blog about this is the big news for the Indian reservations. They're all apparently allowed to grow. They want to know there's 26 reservations here in Arizona, we were told here. And here's the question. We'll just put this out there for the entire planet.
I like that.
And for Tucson. I have a question or pondering the Indian reservations with the federal government and what has led to autonomous sovereignty. We have 26 reservations, and does that mean Arizona will have to make a pact with each and every tribe? I don't know how the tribal pacts go. I don't know how well our government has honored them in the past. However, I think what we should actually, we have that on tumbleweedcountcenter.com. Hang on a second. Because I thought we had the article about the Native Americans. Where's your little clicky computer? That
it's
little thing.
Right over here.
No, it's like Morse code.
I feel like someone's in a telegraph. It's really annoying.
Horace is at the telegraph office typing out little notes. Well, in the meantime, while we're looking for that, we can read about the we'll find about the Indian reservations. I swear I had that on the side. My apologies. But we can definitely take a look at the next 7 states in line to legalize.
So excited about that. I bet those people are so excited, too. I bet,
Oh, my God, look at that.
Like, remember the time that it all happened here with us, and we were just like, it's happening.
This is great. We are at theweedblog.com, one of our favorite pages to check from, and if you go to the site section where it says 7 states that are the next in line to legalize marijuana, I'm just laughing so hard at this big hippie bus. It's from Pennsylvania, and it says legalize marijuana, and it's got to be a 70s photo. or late 60s. That's just
The banner is about as big as a bus.
Yeah,
it's hanging down.
And it's a typical brown with yellow writing, like,
yeah,
you know, Smokey the Bear. During a series of YouTube interviews Thursday, President Obama demonstrated a remarkably laissez-faire attitude toward marijuana legalization experiments in the United States. And he signaled strongly that the Obama administration wouldn't be taking to the hustings to try to beat back legislation efforts as previous administrations had been wont to do. What you're seeing now is Colorado, Washington, through state referenda, they're experimenting with legal marijuana, the president said. Indeed, legalization bills are already popping up in state legislatures around the country, and while it's unlikely, though not impossible, that any of them will pass this year, 2016 looks to be the breakout year for freeing the weed. One state is going to be the first to legalize it through the legislature, and next year seems reasonable. And the presidential election year is also likely to see successful legalization initiatives in several more. Currently, four states, Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, and the District of Columbia have ended pot prohibition. But that's only about 18 million people. That's all. By the time they quit counting the votes on Election Day, that number is likely to triple, and then some. So where's it going to happen? Here's where. California is the only state in the West Coast not to have legalized pot. Is an embarrassment to Golden State activists. Sure is. They were first with medical marijuana in 1996, and they tried to be first to legalize in 2010, but came up short. In 2012, with the big players sitting on their cash stashes, none of the competing initiative efforts even managed to make the ballot. It will be different in 2016. The actors with deep pockets are already to get involved next year. The polling is good, if not hovering in the mid-50s, and the state's disparate and fractious cannabis community is already working to forge a unified front behind the community-vetted initiative. The main vehicle for activists is the California Coalition for Cannabis Law Reform, which has already started holding meetings statewide to try to unify the cannabis community. Nevada is the next state. It's the state that is actually furthest down the path towards legalization.
Where's
that
coming from? I want to come from the legalization.
Yeah, and they're not even Southern. The Marijuana Policy Project, MPP, packed back to coalition to regulate marijuana like alcohol in Nevada and has already qualified a legalization initiative for 2016. It would legalize the possession of up to an ounce by adults 21 and over and allow for tax and regulated marijuana commerce. All right, get ready, folks. Arizona! In Arizona, possession of any amount of pot is still a felony. But polling in the last couple of years shows support for legalization either hovering around 50% or above. Those aren't the most encouraging polling numbers. The conventional wisdom is that initiatives want to start out at 60% or better. But a serious effort is underway there to put the issue before the voters in 2016. MPP, the Marijuana Policy Project, is teaming with Safer Arizona and other state activists for the 2016 initiative campaign and has formed a ballot committee to begin laying the groundwork for a Colorado-style initiative. The initiative language is not a done deal, and there are some signs that local activists aren't completely happy with MPP's proposed language, but that's why there are consultations going on.
Nice.
All right. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left here, so we'll just read who's coming up. We've got Maine coming up. MPP is working hard with them. Massachusetts is coming up. Again, let's see. Looks like they've got 63% of the vote going in on this one, which is good. Vermont could be the best bet for a state to legalize this year and for the first state to legalize the legislative process. There's no initiative process in the state, so that's the only way it's going to happen, and the state has already proceeded well down the path. Go Vermont! Go Vermont! Woo! You say going on the road, I'm feeling it. Missouri, maybe that's where it's coming
from. We should
from.
Get that hippie van.
Missouri, let's do it. Let's spend some money. And there's a dark horse in the heartland. The Missouri activist group Show Me Cannabis has been running an impressive educational campaign about marijuana legalization for the past few years. The group tried to get initiative on the ballot last year, but came up short. We should have them on the show. We should have all these folks on the show. And there you go. That was it. We love it. The next seven.
The next seven.
All right. And can you believe it? We're to the end of our show. I can't even, there feels like there's so much
going on. It's another great Weed Day Wednesday.
Another one. Thank you, Sarah Gullickson, for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And
awesome,
everybody at Women
hope,
Grow.
Yeah, Women Grow. We hope to see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, everybody at Tumbleweeds Health Center, Studio C, all of our listeners, all our bloggers. We love you all. What
Growers
is awesome.
House.
Yeah, Growers
Culture
House.
Culture Magazine.
Cannabis Now has us in there.
Yeah.
Purple Magazine.
Purple. From New Mexico. Check them out.
Pick up your Purple Magazine.
Thank you, Holy Smoke.
Yeah, thank you, Holy Smoke, for always being a great supporter of Weeks Day Wednesday and Tumbleweeds Health Center.
And Chirpy, where you buy it.
5315 East Broadway Boulevard. Come down and get certified. Lowest prices in town. We will beat any price. We guarantee
that. Come on in and visit us. Come in and get a hug.
That's right. Or get a pipe or a bong or a vaporizer or whatever else you might need.
Pick up your Holy Smoke.
Come on down. Thank you so much for tuning in to Weed Day Wednesday.
Thank you, Belstein.
We love you. Thank you, Cameron. Kids,
remember, be smart.
Be safe.
And
educate.